Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. This is a wonderful day. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name. It's exciting, Father God, to be able to come and praise you and worship you and glorify you and talk about you. Father God, to speak on the good news. Father God, the good news is so rewarding. It's so inspiring. It's so motivating. It's so stimulating, Father God. Why? Because, Father God, we have a passion for your word. I thank you, Father God, for giving us this passion. And as we go forward, Father God, to share the knowledge and wisdom that you impart upon me, Father God, I thank you, Father God, that I, the flesh, decrease. And you, the Holy Spirit, rise up big in me to share the word, Father God, with accuracy, proficiency, Father God, and in truth. I thank you, Father God, for those who take the time to listen, Father God, have ears to hear, and they have a heart to receive, Father God, and a heart to believe. So we thank you, Father God, as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited to be able to share and wrap up this series in the name of Jesus. So we're going to go right into the quotes. The quote for the day is, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase, Martin Luther King. And faith is knowledge within the heart, beyond the possibility of proof, Keller Coran. And all who call on God in true faith, sincerely from the heart, will certainly be heard and will see what they have asked and desired, Martin Luther. And God's word says in Jeremiah 17:9-10, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. And in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. And Psalm 112:7 says, he is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. Well, I'm reminded of a story, a friend of mine who lived in Florida. He was telling about a couple who's getting ready to get married by the name of Jacob and Rebecca. Jacob of the age of 92, Rebecca of the age of 89. They were so excited because they were getting married. So they went down the beach and they took a little stroll. But in passing, they ran across a drugstore. So Jacob said, let's go in and check it out. So Jacob addressed the man behind the counter and said, are you the owner? The pharmacist says, yes. And Jacob said, we're about to get married. Do you sell heart medication? And the pharmacist said, of course we do. And Jacob said, how about medicine for circulation? All kinds. And Jacob said, well, medicine for rheumatism and scoliosis? The pharmacist said, definitely. And Jacob said, how about that Viagra? Of course. And the Jacob man said, medicine for memory problems, arthritis, and jaundice? The farmer said, yes, we have a large variety that works. And Jacob said, what about vitamins, sleeping pill, geritol, antidotes for Parkinson's disease? The pharmacist said, absolutely. And Jacob said, do you sell wheelchairs and walkers? The pharmacist said, all speeds and sizes. Jacob paused and he said, perfect. We like to use your store as our bridal registry. Basically, the moral of the story is never too late to get married as long as you know where to go to get the resources you need when things get a little hairy. All right, so let's move right into the show. What kind of faith do we possess? Heart faith or head faith? We have to ask this question because the word tells us to panic not because God has never left us or forsaken us. So let's recap. With everything happening around us now today with this plague, people are panicking beyond reason. Priorities are all distorted. Faith is becoming either questionable or increasing depending on who you're talking to. Funny, though, this reminds me of the war zone. Well, once many of the soldiers blew off the ideal of God and faith, but as the rounds started coming in, they started to develop this level of trust in God, having faith in God, and hope in God, to the point that they were like bulldogs that had a steak in his mouth who hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. They were holding on. And my friend used to always say to me, when you need more, you do more. And this sometimes happens when crisis come along. Thus, when the leaders of the world are compromising faith and knowledge, the followers who are not grounded in the faith of God, we react to these crises in the same fashion of fearfulness and unpredictability, and we're seeing this every day. Therefore, the question is, why do we become compromised in our faith when crises and challenges arise? What happens to all the faith and confidence we profess when the waves of life start to knock us around? When the storms of life shower down hellfire? When we become like doubting Thomases who once walked in this strong heart faith, but in reality, we really disband that head faith that is what was only secured by the ideal of faith and not truly the heart faith that Jesus operated in. Thus, we must take a moment to examine what happens when crises arise to our faith, especially since we have all been believed that we're walking in the same measure of faith that God gave us all in the beginning, because in Romans 12:3 it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, thoughtful, according to God, who has dealt to every man a measure of faith. In other words, his faith, that ego, shouldn't cause us to think highly of ourselves, for faith that God has given us is from the heart. Thus, many times, our understanding of what faith is based on is our knowledge, experience, and information passed down from the senses realm and not the spiritual realm. And according to Dr. Bishop Scott, Leonard Bishop Scott, who said that head faith is being utilized, is where we utilize the evidence of our senses, basically evidence-based driven. In other words, your history. And we saw in John 20:24-27 with our brother Don Thomas, who despite walking with Jesus for 3 years, he still had that head knowledge faith versus that heart knowledge faith. And I think more than not, we operate from the concept of show me and I will accept, while Christ is advising us to first to accept and then he will show us. Many of us haven't developed our spiritual self of heart faith because we are conditioned to operate from the ideal of what we can see and not for the things that are undetectable. It takes that spiritual heart faith to believe and pray and trust into an invisible God, the one that we can't see. We have to believe. Now, there are many reasons, as I spoke about, why we haven't spiritually matured to the level of walking in heart faith versus head faith, and I pointed out a few. First, we need to develop an intimate relationship where we can gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, which would lead us to have the ability of discernment. Then we talked about we must gain that knowledge of God's word and his will in order to operate out the heart knowledge faith like Jesus did versus the head knowledge faith that Don Thomas did. Then we need to attempt to avoid these distractions that leads us into focusing more on physical senses that cause us to operate out of that head faith level. And then next, we must be able to know God's voice. Jesus knew God's voice versus the voices that we entertain all around with the media, TV, things of this nature that fills our head with fear and that lack of trust in the true knowledge of God that he gives, the knowledge that he gives us. Then we have to look at from the words in John 29, blessed are they that have not seen yet believe. Blessed are they that have not seen, but yet they believe. That is what the heart faith is all about. Remember, our minds have been conformed to this world most of our lives, and now we have needed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The trouble is we still feed off that negativity world concept of faith, confidence, trust, belief, and a will. However, when we move to trust God's word and not the word of the world, we begin to truly operate out of heart faith versus head faith, where we begin to believe the unchangeable word of God. So now I want to suggest you 9 key points to consider in moving towards operating in that knowledge of heart faith versus that head faith that I was saying I was going to bring to your attention. The first is trusting in our Heavenly Father. Trusting our Heavenly Father is essential in developing heart faith. Jesus did this through his entire life. From the time he was a child when he had to be in his father's house, right into his death when he had to be about his father's business, or if you will, operating out of his father's will. So let's look at this. Let's look at when Jesus with his mother and then when they went to the festival, out of Luke 2, 41 to 52. Mary and Joseph find Jesus with the teachers in the temple in the courtyard. Here's where we go. Every year, Jesus' parents would go into Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And when he was 12, they went as usual. When the festival was over, they left for home. But boy, Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. They thought that he was with the others who were traveling with him. After traveling for a day, they started to look for him among the relatives and friends. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. 3 days later, they found him in the temple in the courtyard. He was sitting among the teachers or the elders, listening to them, asking them questions. And I was always told it's not always the answers you get, but the questions you ask. Jesus was wise to understand that. And even by him being young, his understanding and his answers stunned everyone who heard him. And when his parents saw him, they were shocked. His mother asked her, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father had been worried sick for looking for you." And that worry piece moved into that head faith. But Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you realize I had to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then they returned with him to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. Jesus was obedient to them, even though he was about his father's business. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. That, I believe, started the development of that heart faith. And Jesus grew up in wisdom and maturity. Now, that's what Solomon asked for. He said he wanted wisdom, knowledge, and ability of discernment. And Paul talked about, he said, "I work towards the mark of perfection, which is maturity." And what's the benefit of that? He gained favor. This is what Solomon got. He gained favor from God and the people. The people came from all over the land to come hear the wisdom of Solomon. And surely they did the same for Jesus. So we have to consider that it's important that we recognize the power in the relationship with God and understand his word and what it's about when operating out of his will and operating the level that we operate from heart faith versus head faith. Now, here's the other side of the story. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is out of Matthew 26, 36 to 42. Then Jesus went with them to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." I love this line. "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." See, again, when we operate out of heart knowledge faith, our spirit is in line with that, and we wouldn't fall short or fall weak. But the flesh, the head knowledge faith, we get become weakened. We become compromised. We like Peter again. When the waves come, we get knocked around. We begin to drown. When we operate out of that heart, when people operate out of that heart faith, he was walking on water. Then Jesus again, for the second time, went away and prayed, "My Father, If this cup cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Again, this is about trusting our Heavenly Father. Then the next point I want to point out is receiving the Word and having Jesus, the Word, as your producer of your faith. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So let me talk about this term called Word. In the New Testament, there are two Greek words translation of it, rhema and logos. They have a slightly different meaning. Rhema usually means the spoken word. For example, in Luke 1:38, when the angels told Mary that she would be the mother of God's son, Mary replied, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word, rhema. And logos, however, has a broader, more philosophical meaning. This is the term used in John 1. It usually implies total message. It is used mostly in reference to God's message to mankind. For example, in Luke 4:32, it says that when Jesus taught the people, they were amazed at his teaching because his word, logos, the authority, or had authority. The people were amazed not merely by the particular words Jesus chose, but his total message. The word logos, in first time referring to Jesus. Jesus is the total message, everything that God wants to communicate with man. Therefore, out of Hebrews 12:2, fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Receiving the word and Jesus being our producer of our faith, we can't help but operate out of that heart faith when we receive him. And why? Because we have to go and make God, number three, make God the absolute authority. My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ears to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Back to that heart faith. For they are life unto those who find them. You got to seek this. This is not something that we naturally in our flesh get. We have to seek this. We have to go after this. But he say to them who find them, this is life for them and health to all our flesh. I just seen a little text and it said, if you think bleach can clean up the virus, look what God, Jesus' blood can do. This is what I'm talking about, the power of God's word. And having God's word, making it authority and trusting him, we can't go wrong. We truly can't operate out of that heart faith versus that head faith that basically leaves us in that, if you will, that quandary or that dilemma or that confusion. See, there's no confusion with God. He's always in order. And one of the things we have to do before we go running and praying and asking, we got to give God that praise and that honor because this is significant. It says in the word Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, give thanksgiving, and let your request be made known unto God. Like all parents, we're not necessarily looking for praise or credibility, but we're definitely looking for that respect. So I think that it's important that even before we ask anything to God, to let him know how thankful we are, how wonderful he is, how amazing he is, how much we appreciate him. As I always like to say, but I can't go back, but I always like to say, I wish I was just much more powerful when I was 12 years old like Jesus. Oh, there could have been some big changes going on in the world. But that's okay. We got it now. It's never too late. So, again, that's number four. Number five, develop your appetite for God's word. You know, we spend a lot of time getting our eat on. I remember a pastor in Afghanistan, every message he presented was always about getting them victuals. He'd say, man, he would always say, come up with a scripture that lined up with getting them victuals. But at the end of the day, he was always trying to give us that spiritual food. He just knew how to blend that humor in there about the physical need. But see, I see many of us walk around emaciated in the spirit. But we have to build, I like to say, that Arnold Schwarzenegger, that Olympia-type muscle, spiritual muscle, in order to really be able to fight the good fight of faith. Very few people can win a fight if they're weak. So we got to develop that same appetite, that same desire that we have when we see people, and I don't want to be disrespectful, when we see people who have allowed themselves to become overweight. We can't get overweight with God's word. You can't get over, if you will, can't get large in the sense of looking at it as going to be damaging to you. The larger you get in God's word, the more powerful you get, and it won't slow you down. It won't compromise you. It'll just make you more stronger. So we got to develop that appetite, that passion. And when we get that appetite, you know, when sometimes they tell you, slow down when you're eating. You kind of, if you will, embrace the moment. Savor the moment. Well, we got to do that with God's word. How do we do that? Number six is meditate on the word. And Joshua 1:8 said, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Everybody want to be successful. Everybody want to be the Oprahs and the Bill Gates and what have you. And again, that's maybe from the financial standpoint, or they want recognition to be stars or what have you. But true success is developing in God's word. True success is being able to operate with that heart faith that you can move mountains. You can say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. As long as you don't doubt in your heart, and you won't have that doubt because you got that heart faith. See, Jesus didn't have any doubt. He didn't have any doubt because he had that heart faith. And he was operating out of the will of God. He desired to fulfill the will of God. That's what's important for us. If we're truly trying to evolve and grow and mature, there's things we need to take into account. We need to make God the authority in our lives, his word the authority. We need to give him that praise. We need to recognize the importance of the word. See, Doubting Thomas, again, he walked with Jesus, and he might have, in his own way, I like to say that head knowledge, he in his own way believed that he was operating in the way of faith. But when the waves came, he was emaciated. He was compromised. He didn't have that passion. His appetite had increased to the point that he had no doubt. And that's a sad thing when they tag to your name, because the name has power, but they tag to your name, Doubting Thomas. See, we don't want to have doubt. We want to walk by faith and not by sight. So it's important in order for you to really evolve and grow, for us to become what we need to be, we got to meditate on it. That, again, as I said, we're savoring the moment. We're letting it get into our spirit. It's merging. So now when life crisis come up, bam, bam, you kick those words out of God's word. You can just keep saying his word. You can bring one scripture after another. You can continue to be able to go up against Satan. Because when Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan came. But see, Jesus, from the early on, as we heard, he was sitting with the scribes and the wise men and what have you. He was, even though he was Jesus, he was getting that word. He was developing that word. He was meditating at that word. So when he was out there in the wilderness and Satan was bringing all the temptations to Jesus, talking about the Garden of Gethsemane, that you be not tempted, he had the word as his power to be effective. And that's what developing your strength is for, so you can be effective. And how do you do that? Number seven, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. See, I've come to the conclusion, the reason he said this, because they knew that the world was going to compromise us and get our mind all in the wrong areas. And for most of us, as I'm now in my 60s, I've been in the wrong area a long time. And even when I thought I was on the right path, I might have had the right intent, but the wrong method. But when you start to develop in God's word, you started to understand God's word. As Paul said, you're working towards the mark of perfection. So you're not perfect yet. This is an ongoing process. I talked about in one of my other series. When I talk about this is a journey. And this is why it's important to be around people who are helping you along the journey. They're helping you to renew your mind with the word of God. As he said, forsake not the fellowship of the saints. Now, none of them going to be perfect. I've learned this through the course of my time in attending services and what have you. I don't have those unrealistic expectations of people. I have realistic expectations of people because I have to be reasonable with myself because I miss it. And because I miss it, the good thing that if I fall, I can repent and I can go to God. Isn't this amazing? I just wish that even Judas, who God, Jesus already knew was going to fall, Judas himself could have came back and asked for forgiveness. What a wonderful God we have. This is what's so amazing about it. But again, we got to get that renewing in our mind. We got to be transformed. And transform is a change. And this is what I talk about when I speak on my acronym PACE. You know, we got to prepare. We got to get a new attitude. We got to commit. And we got to execute. We got to be doers. And we got to expect. And this is what number eight is. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, or you deceive yourself. And this is out of James 22. But I'm blocking where it's located, but I know the scripture talks about a man looking into the mirror and he's forgetting his reflection. Basically, you go in there, you get the word. As soon as you walk out, you forget the word. That's why meditating on it is important. It's like me being in college. I can't just go and highlight the first chapter of the book. I have to go and start studying it. I got to meditate on it. So when I have to articulate it to my professor, I can articulate that. I can tell you, when I was in the military, you only had 3 minutes to speak before the general during a command conference. If you didn't have your act together, he would sit you down quick, fast, and in a hurry. He would always say, be brief, be brilliant, and be gone. So therefore, I had to have my act together as the first sergeant to be able to articulate what is necessary. How could I do that? Because I studied what I needed, the material. And then I knew how to execute the material when it was time to execute. This is the same with the word. We have to study the word day and night, meditate on it. We have to pray about the word. We have to ask God for clarity. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and illuminate the scriptures so that we can really understand what God is talking about, so we can be better, so we can be fighters, we can be warriors, we can exercise, as I say, the spirit of the soldier. And then number 9, walk and pray in the spirit. In Jude 20, it says, building yourself up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You have to ask God for the Holy Spirit, because he told him in Acts, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, you receive power. Now, so again, this power that he's talking about comes with the elimination of fear, and it helps you develop a sound mind that you can go forward and truly be able to stand in the midst of trials and tribulations and stand there with boldness like John the Baptist and be able to say, get behind me, Satan. And Satan would do like would be in the position where he'd have to run, because that's what he did with Jesus. He might come back another day, but he going to move on in because he know who you are. As the spirits ask, I know who Jesus is. I know who Paul is. Who are you? But when you're walking in that heart faith, you can stand bold and say, I'm a child of God. I may not be flawless. I may not be totally sinless, but I'm sinning less and I'm in progress. This is what this is all about, developing that heart faith, that heart knowledge faith versus just that head faith. So in closing, it's important that we work to mature in developing our faith by not operating out of head knowledge faith, but that heart knowledge faith, that which Jesus displayed, who should be our model, and we should allow to be our producer of our faith in order that when crisis comes, we don't fail to trust our Heavenly Father, who has never left us or forsake us. But no, he is always there today, yesterday, and forevermore. As I close this out, you want to know how you can operate in this? Well, I'm going to do this prayer of salvation. Out of Romans 10, I say, declare with your mouth and that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God risen from the dead, thou can be saved. This is no magical pill. This is just operating out of that heart faith. And once you receive Christ in your life, no, let no one deceive you that you're going to magically be this superhuman. Yes, a lot of people got those S's on their chest. But again, when the waves come, we'll find out whether or not they can stand the test of time or they knocked out like with kryptonite. So we have to be able to know that we have to trust God. No one should think high of themselves, but in all our power, as Paul said, in my weakness, I am strong because of Christ. That's who you rely on. So as you go through this week and we pick up next week, I ask you to try to develop in God's word, mature in his word, study his word, meditate on his word, always give God honor and praise, and build that heart knowledge faith versus that head faith. And again, don't forget to check out Kingdom Builders Development, which is at kingdombuildersplaza@gmail.com. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to share God's knowledge and wisdom with you. And I hope that it helped you. I know it will. I know it will. And again, you go out and study so you'll be able to rightly divide the word of truth, so you not be a workman of shame, that you can stand up and fight the good fight of faith. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. I'm your host, David.
This is my testimony, everybody, how God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.
Love is patient, caring. Love is kind.
love is felt most.
Love is felt most
when it's genuine.
You are.
I had my share
of love abuse.
Manipulated.
And its strength.
And I can't help but to give God glory. When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell.
And I know
you favored me because my enemies, they did try, but they couldn't triumph over me. Yes, they did try, but it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed on my way to my destiny because the favor of God is on my life. Let me tell you about love.
Love is patient.
Love is kind.
Love is felt most
when it's genuine.
I
had a whole lot of people in my life
I've had my share of love
who abused my love.